Is anybody here? All right, guys. I'm so glad. I'm excited. We're in the middle of this series on relationships. You got that video right there from Toy Story 2. I think it's Toy Story 2 or 3. Which one? I don't remember now. But we're in the middle of relationships and dealing with relationships. And we kind of started out with this idea that relationships are built on love, but love is not just a feeling, it's a choice. We choose to be patient. We choose to be kind. We choose to be loving. We choose to be gentle. It's choices we make. It's not just some kind of a tingly feeling we have. And then there's some relationships you have to have. And last week, I really enjoyed last week's message. It's okay not to be okay, because I'm okay all the time, all right? I have problems sometimes. And so it's okay not to be okay. This morning, I want to deal with, how do you deal with people who don't like you? Anybody got anybody? Yeah. How do you deal with people who don't like you? Just so you know, my wife brought the mail in this morning, and there's this card in there. I don't know if it's from one of you or not. It wasn't very kind, so I'm praying it wasn't from one of you. But I got this card that's just kind of like, what world did this come from? Kind of out of the blue sky, somebody had some words for me. And so I don't know where it came from. What do you do when you got haters? Anybody got a hater? You know, somebody that just despises you, don't like you. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe a teacher. Anybody going to school have a teacher that just hated you? You know, and you know, it could be a friend that maybe it was a friend. They have all these relationships, and sometimes there's a time when there's somebody who doesn't like us. How do we deal with those relationships? How do I go through that time? Because Jesus said the most important thing in life is relationships. I want to make sure you get that picture. You know, the older I've got, you know, when you're younger, you think about your job, you think about your career, you think about money, cars, home, you think about all kinds of stuff. But the older you realize, the most important thing is relationships. My kids and my grandkids, I always talk more about my grandkids, they all came down for the wedding yesterday. And they had to leave this morning, and so it's kind of like, ah, oh, what a bummer. You know, we didn't barely got to see them for just real quick hit, bang, and they're gone. Because it's about relationship. I miss them. They're all the way up in Washington. Some of you have family scattered around. Isn't it hard to have family scattered around and not near? And we really, how do we deal with relationships? But then there's those relationships when there's a battle in there. Somebody doesn't like you. Somebody doesn't like what you said. Somebody doesn't like who you are. Anybody get those on Facebook? Anybody ever get a text message? How do we deal with that? There's a great story in the Bible. There's a great individual in the Bible. His name is David. David was probably the greatest king Israel ever had, and he is the greatest king Israel ever had. It's all the way back into the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at the book of Samuel, kind of looking at his life. And he united a kingdom that was divided. It's all split up, and he united the kingdom. He wasn't a perfect guy. He made mistakes. He had flaws. I'll even use the biblical word. He sinned, all right? He was messed, and he messed up. But the one good thing about David is he always came back to God. He'd make a mistake. He would be a mistaker. You know, we don't like the word sinner, so we'll use mistaker. You know, and he would do those kinds of things in his life. But every time, he always turned back to God. He made poor decisions, bad decisions, faults, failures. But he always turned back to God. As a matter of fact, you get to the New Testament, you'll read this little phrase. I encourage you to get your outline out. I skipped the one verse already on the importance of relationships. I'm going to go down to that verse that said, God testifies concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, here's this guy that God says, he's after my own heart. He made mistakes. He was flawed. The greatest king Israel ever had. But he made some mistakes, and God said he's a man after my own heart. But he's got a wonderful journey in his life, because guess what? David had haters. David had people who didn't like him. Matter of fact, he had a big person who didn't like him. David is the future king of Israel, and the current king of Israel didn't like him. Let me kind of tell you the story of this here. Samuel was the king, all right? Samuel was the king of Israel. He's leading the people. They chose him because he was tall. All right, isn't that a good criteria for choosing a leader? They're tall. So they chose him because he's tall. They picked him out, and he was one, like David, who made some mistakes. He had some failures in his life. He made some poor decisions in his life. But the problem with Samuel was he didn't turn back to God. He kept doing his own thing, and he never turned back to God. Where David made the same kind of mistakes, but David always turned back to God. And so you got Samuel doing his own thing, leading the country the way he wants, and just going along, just merrily along, making those decisions. And God says, I've had enough. You know, I've had enough. There's enough here. I don't need this anymore. I don't need to hear this anymore. And I'm done with Samuel. So he calls up his priest, Samuel. He says, Samuel, I need you to go out and anoint, set aside, pick, show who's going to be the new king of Israel, because I am done with Saul. And so he called Samuel to go make that choice. Now, make sure you understand, Samuel doesn't get to choose. Samuel's going to anoint, lay his hand on, and say, this is the guy God has picked. And so Samuel's been given this challenge to go and find the new king for Israel. So he goes out and gets a guy named Jesse's home. Jesse's a farmer. He's a herder. He has his sheep out of town. And so he goes to Jesse's house looking for the new and the next king of Israel. And so as he goes out there, he goes to Jesse and says, hey, Jesse, you got any sons? Jesse says, yeah, I got several of them. He says, well, God has chosen one to be the next king of our people, the next king of Israel. And so Jesse starts bringing his sons by, and his sons come by. One comes, Samuel goes, no. Another one comes by, and Samuel goes, no. Another one comes by, and no. It just circled right on through all the children of Jesse. And he, at the very end, the last one goes by, and he goes, is that all? And he goes, well, yeah, but I have a younger one. I got a teenager. He's out taking care of the sheep. And he says, well, get him in here. And I don't know about you, but I had this picture in my mind as I read this story, as I was thinking about it this morning. Imagine this teenage boy coming out from the sheep dip and walking into the house. Didn't take a shower, didn't clean up. And he walks in, and Samuel looks at him and says, you're going to be the next king. I can imagine, you know, yeah, look at me. You know, probably stinking to high heaven. Probably walked in some stuff that wouldn't be nice. You know, and he shows up, and Samuel says, you're the next king. And Samuel sets his hands upon him, and it's called anoint. It's from God. This is going to be the next king of Israel. Now, here's the story of David. All right, make sure you get a picture. All right, I'm going to be king. Dad says, Jesse. Jesse goes, hey, get back out there with the sheep. Well, I'm going to be king, Dad. No, you got to go back out and go to work. And so he goes back out to take care of the sheep. Literally, you read the story. He's been anointed to be the future king of Israel, a teenager. He's going to be the future king of Israel. He's been anointed, set aside by God, acknowledged by Samuel. You got the picture? So he's out taking care of the sheep. Can God use teenagers? What do you guys think? You guys are just kind of... We got two back there in the booth doing pretty good right now. The machine went down. They got it back up and running. I thought they did pretty good. God can use anybody. All right? But he's a teenager, so he's out there taking care of the sheep. And Saul's doing his thing. Saul's making his mistakes, living his life, ignoring God. So the story goes on, and as time goes on, he has a few battles. And now Israel's in a battle with the Philistines. Now, some of you might know this story. It's the story of Goliath. Anybody know the story of Goliath? All right. There's Goliath. Goliath was a giant. So they're in the middle of a battle with the Philistines, and this giant, 9'9" or something, steps out before the people of the army of Israel and goes, listen, here's the deal. I'm the best of the best, the Philistines. You get the best of the best of the Israeli army. We'll have it out, and whoever wins, the others become the slaves. Nobody takes the challenge. He's yelling. He's stomping up and down. He's challenging the people of Israel. Send me your best. Send me your best. Well, little David, he's not taking care of sheep. His dad says, hey, go out and check on your brothers. Take them some lunch. They're out on the battlefield. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail of this. So David goes out to the battlefield. Here's all this bantering, all this yelling and screaming, and nobody's doing anything. David's going, why doesn't somebody do something? God's on our side. What do you guys think? You can kind of see why God anointed him. you know, he already knows where the power's at. And they're just sitting there, not praying. Saul's not even there. Who's supposed to be leading them? Saul, he's not even there. He's the leader, and he's not there. That's why he's not long to last. You know? David says, why doesn't somebody do something? And so I'm not going to get into it. David goes out there, and he kills Goliath. That excites everybody. Everybody gets up, and everybody's excited. They're pumped, man. He just took out. Here's this little teenage boy took out a 9'9" dude, man. And they, you know, and I like stories like this, man. He chopped his head off. You know, I could just, you know, he chopped his head off, then he picks it up. Hey, look what I got. You know, you just see a teenage boy, you know, just pumped. You know, I did this. Well, that excites everybody. And they all of a sudden, now the army's all excited. Now the big dude's dead. Now we can go. You know, that's, you know, we got that big guy out of the way. Now let's go finish this. You know, and so now they just go in and they just wipe out the Philistines. So guess what's going to happen in the town of Jerusalem tonight? Party time, man. It's party time in the streets of Jerusalem. They're going to dance. They're going to sing. They're going to have a great time in the city of Jerusalem because they have just defeated the army of the Philistines. They are free. The battle is over. We've won, and it's party time. And so they create a song. They create a song to celebrate with. I want you to read this song with me. It's right here. It's 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 says this. And they celebrated. The women sang. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Now, how do you think that's going to go over in Saul's head? It's like, wait a minute. I've fought many battles already. I've led this country all these years already. And now you're saying, I killed a thousand. He's killed tens of thousands. He just killed a giant. That's all he did. And you can see Saul creating in his mind this image, this battle in his mind. And look at what he says here. Saul was furious. They're dancing in the street. They're partying in the streets today. We've defeated, we've won, and they're singing about David, David, David. David, David, David did this, and David did that, and David, David. You just, Saul is furious and resented the song. They created tens of thousands for David, he complained, but they only credited me with thousands. What more could he have than a kingdom? It's like I'm done, I've had it, I'm finished with it. Now he's a hater of David. You see the picture? He's mad at David. David is the evil one. David is the bad guy. And so he's mad at David. Now, if you read on in the story, there's lots of little stories going on. He pursues David to kill him. Anybody got a hater like that that wants to kill you? No. He is literally pursuing him to kill you. You can read in there in the book of Samuel, you read over and over, he chases him all over the country. All over the country. When he's not out fighting the Philistines or one of the other armies or somebody, he's chasing David. I've got to get rid of David. I can't have David in my life. I don't want David. I'm tired of that stinking song. I'm tired of David. David, David, David. And he's trying to kill David. He goes all over chasing him. Matter of fact, he comes back from one battle. And they go, hey, Saul, David is over in this country over here, in this little area over here. So he gathers up 3,000 guys to go down and hunt down David. All right? What's the general area David's at? Now, I like this part, okay? You might think I'm weird, but I like this part. And he came to the sheepfold by the way where there was a cave. Now, this part I like. And Saul went in to relieve himself. I like that part. All right? You know, I'm just a guy. Come on, I'm still young. You know, he went in to go potty. You know, he went into the cave to go to the bathroom. But look at what happens. Now, David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. All right. Now, he's going to the bathroom. I think he's a little vulnerable, wouldn't you think? You know, it's kind of in a compromising position. You know, it's kind of like, And who's in the cave? David and his men. All right. Payback time, right? You know that hater? That one that just prods you and pokes you. And, you know, that text message you keep getting, you know, that, you know how they just egg you on Facebook? you know how they gossip about you? How they talked about you to your friends? You know that hater? You're in a compromising position now. It's payback time. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even, right? It don't work that way. Listen. And David and his men were sitting in their innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day the Lord has said, behold, I give you your enemy into your hand." I love his men. His men are going, God set this up. God worked all this out. He's in a compromising position. His army's out there. This is just created by God. Anybody ever get God saying this is God's way? And you know, it looks good. Sounds good. Solve all your problems, right? Just let me push yes on this Facebook post. It'll solve all my problems. If I just, it'll fix their wagon. It'll straighten them out. Am I talking right? And so those men are saying that, "Behold, I give you your enemy into your hand. You shall do to them as it has been seen good to you." Do what you think is right. That's what his men are saying. And David rose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, David didn't kill him. David didn't take him out. David just kind of snuck up and cut off a piece of his garment. All right, it's kind of like, I could have got you. I got you. And I really could have got you. I really could have made it happen. So he sets this up. But listen, even with just cutting the garment off, look at what David said. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off the corner of Saul's robe. He's feeling guilty. This guy's been chasing him and trying to kill him for many years. Now, make sure you get a picture here. See, there was an occasion in Saul's life, he almost got David. All right? Saul had some issues. And so they would bring a musician in to play for Saul. And this musician would play for Saul, and Saul would calm down. Well, guess who got chose to be that musician? David. Yeah. And I'm sure David played that song. David saved his 10,000s, and you killed your... I'm sure David played that song. At least I would, all right? Just egg him on, you know? Anybody ever do that with your haters? You know, you just kind of poke them. You know, you got your hater's poking you, and you're poking... You know, just, I know where to get them at. You know, I know where to hurt them. You know, and you know, he could have did that. Matter of fact, you know, just so you know the story, Saul, I don't know what music David played, but one time Saul picked up a sword and tried to pin David to the wall with a spear. You know? But David had this chance. He just cut the corner off, and he feels guilty just cutting the corner off. "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand again, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with those words and did not permit them to attack the Saul. Now, I like this because you know what? I didn't do it, but my friends did it. I remember my daughter was here at the school, when it was a junior high school, the middle school here, and there was a young man that was always picking on her. It's called bullying today. They didn't call it bullying back there. It tells you how old them are. Yeah, he was always picking. And the rule in the house was, you're in trouble at school, you're in trouble at home. That was always my rule, you know. And I said, if you want to beat him up, you beat him up. She probably could have that, you know. If you know which daughter it is, she could probably do it, you know. And I said, if that's what you want to do, you do. But you're going to get in trouble at school. What's going to happen when you get home? I'm going to get in trouble. Then she goes, my friends offered to do it for me. Yeah, and it's like, do you think that's a wise thing to do? You know, and she didn't, her friends didn't do it. Just so you know, they called the cops, and the cops came in and had a conversation with the young man. But, you know, I didn't do it. I had my friend send them the text message. I had my friend take the picture and post it. Anybody? You know, David didn't even do that. David said, I'm not going to do it, and you're not going to do it. His men were saying, okay, David, you don't have to do it. We'll take care of it for you. We'll take care of it for you. And he didn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And he didn't let his men permit them to attack. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. He's gone. Finished his business and off he goes. And then it goes like this. David steps out of the cave. Saul's down in the valley now. David steps out of the cave and he says, "May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you." I'm going to ask you, what do you do with your haters? What do you do with those who don't like you? For those who push your buttons and enjoy doing it. Enjoy egging you on. And enjoy just kind of twisting. Anybody ever have a twisted knife? I always talk about, anybody ever have a friend that pats you on the back, they got a knife in it? "Hey, good to see you." Anybody got something like that? How do we deal with these kind of relationships? What do we do when we're confronted by these kinds of people and from these situations? How do we deal with those? I've told my story. You know, I've shared with you the old blue church that used to sit here. I'm standing out in front of the church. The light's gone right there. And the young lady looks at me and she says, "I hate you." Right to my face. "I hate you." Yeah. And what it was really involved had nothing to do with the church. It had to do with our stuff in the community of Slide. I've been very active in our community. And I just wasn't doing it her way. I was getting it done. I had a part in getting some things done in our team, but I wasn't doing it her way and fast enough. And so she told me, "I hate you." And my comment to her was real simple. I said, "Well, you know what? I'm okay with that. Some people are going to like me, and some aren't. But you got to be okay with it." And that's all I simply said. But I'm sure, what do you do? You know, as I'm talking about this message, I'm willing to bet that probably 90% of you have a name in your head right now, somebody who hates you. You're sitting there like, "I'm so innocent." No, you're not. You probably have a hater. You probably have somebody who's pushed your button, somebody who just aggravates and tweaks on you and just rubs you the wrong way. You know, it just kind of, it's like sandpaper rubbing on you, you know, and they just do that. You know? I can remember, you know, and just these situations, and I'm not innocent, okay? I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. I could tell you stories of things I did to neighbors who did not like me. I'm not going to do it because we've got kids in here this morning. I'll give them some ideas. So I'm not going to do that. Because I literally did. If we did not like you, there was three boys. We were called the Do Boys. And if we did not like you, and usually it wasn't because we didn't like you. You didn't like us, and so we just kind of reacted. You know? See, I'm sure you've never done anything like that, right? Live and let live. Why can't we just all get along? What do we do when we have those haters? What do we do when we have those situations in our life? Here's what I want you to know. You have a choice. You have a choice. I got a couple of buckets that are going to come out here. Because you have a choice what to do with your haters. You can make a decision of what you do. I appreciate Samuel. Thank you, Samuel. See, when you got a problem relationship, it's hot, right? Isn't it? It's kind of heated. You need a relationship. You know, it's kind of kindling. You know, there's a little spark and a little fire. And you have a choice. You can throw some gasoline on it. You pour some gasoline on that relationship. You know, that little spark that's going there, that little situation, that little word, that little comment, you know, that hater. You can take some gasoline and just kind of, whoo, what's going to happen? It's going to blow up, right? Or you can choose to throw some water. You can choose to throw some water on that heated relationship, on that kindling of a fire, on that kindling of a spark. See, you have a choice to make. What am I going to do with my hater? What am I going to do with the one that doesn't like me? What am I going to do with the one who posted that stupid remark on the internet? What am I going to do about that Facebook? What am I going to do about that text message? What am I going to do about that card I got in the mail? I think it's so funny that card came in the mail this morning. My wife brings it to me. And it's just, "Gary, you need to repent." You want to know something? I'll be honest with you. Yes, I need to repent. All right? I'm a mistaker. You want to use a big word? I'm a sinner. You know, but the way they were talking about it is, I need to preach hellfire and brimstone. Because you guys, if you don't turn, you're going to hell. That's what I don't know who sent it to me. It was any of you. Because, you know, it was just amazing. I can get mad. You know what? I already filed that. I filed it. All right? It's filed in the garbage can. All right. My wife gives it to me. I open it and go, what in the world? You know? All right. I threw it in the garbage can. You know? No, you know what? I'm going to go pull it out, and I'm going to go try to find out who wrote that. I'm going to analyze that handwriting, and I'm going to figure out who wrote that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary's going to get even. I'm going to throw some gas on that fire. It's getting cold in here. Let's heat this place up. Anybody have a relationship like that? Yeah. Or you can throw some water. Anybody got family? Am I the only one with a crazy family? You know? Anybody got family? Yeah. We need to carry buckets of water in the living room, right? You know, somebody's going to say something at Christmas. Come on now. They're going to do something during the holidays. You know how they are. You know? We need a bucket of water in the living room during the holidays. What are we going to do? So I want to give you just really quick five things to help you deal with this issue. God says it this way. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, I'm going to ask you, what's possible with God? Anybody? All things are possible with God. So guess, is it possible? Yes. As far as it depends on you. Now I'm going to be honest with you. There are going to be some, just so you know, there are some people who are just mean. Anybody? They're just mean. You can't please them. You can't do anything right. You can't say anything. You can even say, I love you this morning. And guess what? They're going to turn it around on you. Anybody? Yeah. There's people in this world who are just mean. Some of them are, there's other people who are just a little irritants. Anybody got an irritant? You know, they just kind of irritate you a little bit. And then there's others, you know, kind of all along the line there. So how do we deal with this? What are we going to do if this is possible? So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give you some possibilities, all right? I want to give you some possibilities. I want to give you some things that you can try. Because relationships are hard, but as much as it depends on you. So if you look at your outline, the first one, I say it this way. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, understand them. Try to understand them. What's going on in their life? Think about that. Many times, let me tell you, here's something to think about. Many times what somebody hates in you is the same battle they're fighting. Do you understand that? Many times what they're picking on you about is something going on inside of them. And sometimes you're doing so well, they don't like that. So they're going to pick on what you're doing good at because they don't like you doing good. Try to understand what's going on and what's happening in their life. This word says insight here. Look at what it says. A person's insight gives him patience. I circled that word. A person's insight gives him patience. You don't have patience automatically, at least I don't. Let my insights give me patience. And his virtue is to overlook an offense. I love my Monday night Bible study group. We meet on Monday night. And we redid one of our studies. I was looking for this three B's I have. I want you to write these three B's down. Because I think these really help when I try to understand somebody. The first B is the battle. What is their battle? What are they battling right now? Do they have some financial battles they're involved in? Is there another relationship battle at home that they're involved in? And I'm just collateral damage. You know what I mean? Well, you know, what's their battle? What's going on in their life? What's their battle? You know, my other question is, what's their burden? Another B is, what's their burden? That word burden. It really helps. You know, what's their burden? What's weighing on them? What's weighing them down? And it's hard, and they're having challenge with it. What's their burden? And the last B is a background. What's their background? Sometimes we've had some rough childhoods. Sometimes there's situations, sometimes in our past, that make us who we are. You need to know your past makes you who you are. And so sometimes some of those background things, and this really helped me. We just redid the study, and I couldn't find where it was. And yet in my note, it written down. I don't know where it came from. So our Monday group just finished it. We're going to go out and have Mexican food tomorrow night. Our Monday night group is. We didn't get Italian food. We had that already. We're going to go get Mexican food. Giving Lauren a bad time over there. But see, you got to understand, what's battle? What's their burden? What's their background? What's happening for them? Has maybe nothing to do with me, but I need to understand them. What's going on with them? Don't take it personal. What about them going on? How about the next one? I put it this way. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, be kind to them. You ever hear this phrase? Kill them with... Oh, you guys have heard it. Kill them with kind... Be kind with them. Now, I'm going to tell you, is it easy to be kind to the unkind? Yeah. Then we got to be kind to them. We got to reach out to them. We got to show them kindness. Because listen, kindness is not about them. Kindness is character. You hear what I said? Kindness has nothing to do with them. It's your character. It says something about you and who you are. And so we need to reach out with kindness and strive out with kindness. And I like this verse. If you try, I like that word try. Again, I like circling words. I circle that word try. If you try to be kind and good, you will be blessed with life and goodness and honor. I like that. It didn't say you had to do it, but if you try. Isn't it hard? You know, it's hard to be kind sometimes. But you got to try. You got to try to be kind. You got to try to work at it. And I'm going to be real specific here. Be kind in your conversation. You know those words on Facebook hurt anybody? Those text messages cause wounds. Those cards that somebody can send you didn't bother me. You need to know that. You know, it's like, oh, I'm all right. You know, that was an easy one for me. But, you know, that can hurt. That can hurt. That gossip, that can hurt. But you got to be kind. You got to be kind in those words. You got to be patient. You got to be positive. You got to kind of reach out. I like what it says here. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good. Do good to those who hate you. To those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Do good. See, it's not enough just to be good. You got to do good. Does that sound okay? So not just be kind, but do kindness. All right? And that last little one leads me to my next point where it says, pray for those who hurt you. That's my next point. If you look at your outline, turn to the next page. But it's all possible as far as it depends on you. Pray for them. Now, I got a prayer for him, all right? Anybody got a prayer like I have a prayer for him? Somebody shared me a country and western song about dropping a pot on their head and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I like that one. That'd be a good prayer. No. That we need to pray for them. You know, Jesus had his critics. Everybody agree with that? Jesus had his haters. Jesus had those who were after him. And what did he do for his enemies? He prayed for them. And he challenged us to do the same. And these are our orders. Look at what it says. There is a saying. Love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your haters. Pray for those who don't like you. Pray for those. Now let me give you some ideas of prayer. Don't drop a block of ton of bricks on them, right, God? You know, I'm always afraid. You need to know that afraid I'll pray something negative and something happens and I'll feel guilty. I'm serious. Because you know what? I believe my God can do that kind of stuff. Know that. I believe God takes care of his people. I like the story. Like I said, there's some great stories in the Bible. I like the story in the Bible. These kids are teasing a guy because he's bald. Some of you guys, I'll give you some Bible there. You know, these guys were teasing. These kids were teasing the guy about being bald. One of the prophets of God. They were attacked by the bears. It's like, don't mess with God's people. So I'm never going to pray for anything bad to happen to anybody, all right? Never do that. But you know, I can pray for their conversion. Is that okay? Can I pray that they accept Jesus Christ? That they cross that invisible line and reach a point in life where they say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them. Can I pray that? You know, can I pray for them to become believers and for them to cross that line? Can I pray that that they forgive? Maybe I did something and maybe they need to forgive me. And can I pray that maybe they forgive? Can I pray that they have wisdom? That God will give them wisdom to understand and wisdom to have compassion and care. You know, can I pray that they have a loving heart? Can I pray for them to have a loving heart? Can I pray for God to show his will to them? That God reveals his will to them? Can I pray for their healing? Because hurt people. Can I pray for their healing? There's a lot of things we can pray. Can I pray for God's justice? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I put that one at the bottom. I really do. Because if I pray for God's justice, I don't want God's justice for me. I'm serious. Justice for me means, Gary, you're in trouble. I need forgiveness, and I need compassion, and I need mercy, and I need grace. And that's what I need. And so we need to see that in our lives. So you can pray for them. Does this sound like this? Are we going to throw gas, or am I going to throw water? Is this kind of like water for us? What do you guys think? Is it kind of like water? How about this next one? I put it this way. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, ignore them. Just ignore them. What am I doing with that card I got? I'm ignoring it. It's a big deal. Yeah. They don't, my thing is, what they wrote, they don't know me. I think they, you know, I think it's some group. Matter of fact, it says it's from some group. You know, and that they probably send a lot of pastors saying, because they just don't like us, to what we're preaching, grace and mercy and forgiveness. They want hellfire and brimstone. And I just, you know, who cares? I just got to ignore it. You know, you get that text message and it's like, forget it. You know, that Facebook post. You know, it's like, oh, forget it. You know, here's my thing. I'm serious. I'm not going to get into those conversations on Facebook or texting and all that. I'm not going to get involved in it. Because, you know, if they keep posting it, pretty soon, guess what? Everybody's going to know who the idiot is. You know what I mean? I mean, if they keep posting and saying stupid stuff, guess what? Everybody's going to go, well, I sure know who's got the problem. You know, I don't need to say a word. They're saying enough to hang themselves. Anybody ever see somebody hang themselves? You know? Just ignore them. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just, just ignore them. It's not going to make a bit of difference. It's not going to help. Just blow it off and let it go. Look at what it says. Fools quickly show that they are upset, but the wise are insulted. I'm going to ask you, are you wise? Now, I'm going to tell you, there are some people out there we call EGRs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? EGR. Extra grace required. All right? There are some people who need extra grace. All right? And I'm sure there are times with maybe some of you, I've needed some of your extra grace, all right? I'll be honest with you. I can be a pain. You know, I'm a control freak, and I'm stubborn, and I'm bullheaded, and yeah, thanks. You know, I know there are times you guys have to have extra grace for me. I need it. I'm going to be honest. Please pray for my grace. I need it. Shouldn't we have that for others? Shouldn't we have that extra grace for others? We don't know. Do we understand them? You know, what's going on? The background burdens or battles? What's happening? What's going on? Are we praying for them? And so we got to have that. Because, see, there are some rude people out there. There's some evil people out there. And we can ignore them and refuse to get involved in that battle and just blow it off. You know, I wrote it this way. Tender-hearted and tough-skinned. What do you think? Tender-hearted and tough-skinned. I think that can work. So sometimes we just got to ignore it. All right? And the last one, I put it this way. If it is all possible, as far as it depends on you, don't hate them. Don't become a hater. Because I'm going to tell you what. If you hate, you cannot contain it. Make sure you hear what I'm saying. If you have hate for anybody, I guarantee you it will run over and start other fires somewhere else. Because that fire is putting sparks. And those sparks carry. Okay? And so if you have hatred in your heart, you can't say, well, it's only over here. It's going to spread. It's just the nature of hatred. It consumes you. Let me ask you, you ever been mad? You ever been upset? And you go to bed, right? And you're laying in bed, and what is your mind doing? Playing a tape. Reverse. Start over. Reverse. It just keeps going over and over. It's like an 8-track. It just keeps going around and around. Anybody know what an 8-track is? You know? Some of you guys are going, I have no idea. 8-track was like a cassette tape that never stopped, all right? Let me put it just kept going and going and going. Yeah. And that's what plays in your head. You know, you're mad, you're aggravated, You're ticked off. And it's just going around in your head over. You're laying down in bed and it's like, I can't go to sleep. Come on, you're like, it never happened to you. I can't go to sleep. Come on, God. You can't just contain hatred. You got to let it go. You can't do it. Don't become a hater because it's going to spread. I like what it says here. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. You don't have to even kill them. You just have to hate them. All right? And you know very well that eternal life and murderers don't go together. Whoa. You can't claim child of God and hate people. Isn't that what that says? Did I read that wrong? You can't say, I believe in Jesus. I'm a child of Jesus, but I hate you over there. You can't do it. It don't work. Don't become a hater because it's not going to work. It's not going to happen in your life. Look at what it says. Hatred stirs up trouble. Love overlooks the wrongs that others do. Let me give you a little idea. You got that hatred you're playing in your head? Here's what you do. Think about that person and think about at least one thing positive in their life. Try to pick one thing. Now, hopefully you pick more than one, right? But as you think about that person, think about one positive thing about them. Maybe they got their hair done just right. Maybe they wear the right clothes. I don't know. Find something positive to think about this person. Begin to dwell on that and not the hatred. Is that okay? Begin to try to find something positive, something that you can praise them for, something that can help you move past all the negative, all the rudeness, all the demeaning, all the derogatory things. Help you move past by what is that one positive thing in them that you can pick out and say, this is what they have. Because, again, hatred stirs up trouble. So here's my choice for you this week. We all have people in our life that just rub us the wrong way. All right? We do. They just, you know, I do. I could give you names, but I'm not going to do it, okay? They just rub me wrong. And I have a choice. There's a little heat in that. Now, I can throw some gas on that, man, just blow it all up. Anybody have those on the holidays? Somebody walks in and throws gas on a situation? People walking out of the house? Come on. Guys act so innocent. Somebody just threw some gas on a relationship? It just blows it all up. Just that one word. I'll give you something to talk about. I'll give you something for gas. Now, this is political, but it doesn't tell you my political views. Donald Trump. Is that gas? Yeah. I'm not going to take, I'm not going to get involved one way or the other. That's not for me to decide. I'm going to let God take care of business. You need to know that. But you say his name and what's going to happen? Whether you're positive or negative on him, you're going to have some gas going. Or you can throw some water. I'm praying for our president. All right? I don't always agree with that guy. You need to know that. You know, he rubs me the wrong way sometimes. Some of his tweets, woo! But I have a choice. I can throw water on it, man, and get the family all pumped up, man. Woo! Or I can throw gas. Anybody wants to talk about president to me? You know what we're going to do? Let's pray. I'm not going to pick sides. I'm not going to get into debate. There's political views from here to kingdom come. I don't know. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what I would do if I was president. I really don't. Trust me, I'll tell you something else. I don't want to be president, all right? But I know one thing. I'm tired of all the gas. And so I'm going to be praying. All right? What about your relationship? I hated to bring politics in, but I thought that was a good illustration. You got somebody in your gas, right? Maybe not on the president. Maybe on you. You know, that little poke on Facebook that came over last night? That little comment that somebody texted to you? That that waiter at the restaurant that looked at you wrong? Anybody ever have that happen? We walk into a restaurant in Georgia, and we walk in to sit down, and this lady looked at us, and it's like, I don't think we're here. And then she said something smart, and it's like, did she say that? We ignored it because we walked out. Anybody? Come on now. You know, that clerk that kind of ignored you when you were standing in line? Just tell me you get with me soon. I'm sure you never stand there and the lady at the bank is really talking with the one in front of you. It's like they're done with their transaction. Would you get out of the way and let me do my business? Anybody? You guys act so innocent. Come on. Come on now. We have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. So I'm going to ask you, what's your choice today? You have your haters. You have those who just push your button. They make those snide comments. They'll text you something stupid, at least in your mind. That Facebook post is like, you need to know something. And we talk about it all the time. Can we respond to this? We look at one another and go, we're not responding. I'm serious. We just look at it and go, I want to say something. I really want to say it, but I'm not going to say anything. But I'm not going to throw gas. What's that old saying? If you can't say anything nice, see, you guys know what you do. So I'm going to ask you to do it. So I'm going to give you a choice this morning. You have some broken relationships. There's some heated conversations going on. It might even be about your church this morning. You had some heated conversations. And you had a choice to make right now. You can throw some gas on it as you go out the door and pick that restaurant. Or you can throw some water on it. Throw some grace. Throw some mercy. Is it something I can ignore? Something I need to understand? Is there something I need to pray for? I gave you 5 ideas. Is there something I can do? It's your choice. What are you going to do with your haters? Let's pray. Lord, it is to be your people. To know that you love us. And that you understand what it's like to have haters. You know the burden to have those around you who are thankful for you. Who seek your demise. You understand the battles that we face within our hearts and our minds. So, Lord, I pray for grace and mercy that we can grow to see them as you see them. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some battles in your life you want me to pray for. Maybe some broken relationship that you really wish would be healed. You want me to pray for you? Just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you. Just let me see those. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of those whose hearts are heavy, who have a heartache for a broken relationship, someone that's hurting them, that's wounded them, someone that they want a better relationship with. You know the situation of each of these individuals. And so, Lord, I pray for their strength, for their patience. I pray for your love upon them, that it can flow through them to these others. And as we said, Lord, I want to pray for these others. I'll pray that they can become believers, Lord, and put the past and let the grace and mercy of God bring cleansing and forgiveness to them. I pray that they'll have a wisdom that surpasses knowledge to move past these situations. I pray that you guide them into your will. Lord, I pray for these broken relationships in these lives. I ask you to encourage them and strengthen them. And be as we walk through this world, for it's not an easy world, for you've already endured it, and you brought us grace and mercy that we may have strength to endure ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's pause the end of our service with an invitation. Invitation is real simple. Invitation is a point in your life where I always say, whatever God's laid on your heart, I always ask this. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to talk about knowing Jesus. It's not, well, I shook the preacher's hand. Oh, I believe in God. I've always believed in God. A believer is someone who's reached a point in their life where I say it this way, week in and week out, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Turn my life and take control. It's one who said, God, I messed my life up. I'm a mistaker. Really, you're a sinner. Let's say the word. And God, I want